Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring training is a month away, and it doesn't look like help is on the way. So we go to the man who gives us help. Zach Meisel from The Athletic joins us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good morning, Zach. Talk me off the ledge.
I can try.
Great. Come on, dude. I love this guy.
All right, Zach.
How you been, Zach?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you?
Good.
We're all right. So, all right, let's start with this. Zach, you were at the winter meetings where they made a whole bunch of moves. Why hasn't anything else happened since they left Vegas? Is it really just what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas and then we take naps?
That's the way it should be. I think a couple things here. Number one, like, they're going to add. I just don't know the degree, you know, the talent level that they're going to add. I don't know if, like, yeah, I can see them for sure signing an outfielder and a reliever for a few million bucks. Maybe they'll make a play for someone bigger than that. I don't know. I was more confident about this a month ago because it looked like, I mean, I was told at the beginning of the offseason, like, yeah, they need to reallocate some money. They need to shed some money, more so because they knew they had holes to fill. And they did the first part, and we're still waiting on the second part. And so the thing that makes this tough, and I know it's aggravating for fans, and it makes us kind of question our own logic, just because the off season, just everything has moved so slowly. And so, yes, the Indians have done nothing to add talent to these weakness areas. But then you look around the league and it's like, well, no one's really done anything yet except the Yankees. I mean, so they were never going to go sign a 33-year-old reliever for $9-10 million a year. Otherwise, they would have just kept Andrew Miller. So that's never been in their wheelhouse. But they do need to add to the bullpen. They need to add to the outfield. They might need to add to the infield. And most of the guys who would have been on their radar at the start of the offseason are still out there.
I, you know, last week or whenever it was when Avi Garcia went to Tampa on a pretty friendly one-year deal, I thought that would have been kind of a fit, a right-handed bat. I almost said right-handed power bat, which is the oldest bit in Cleveland. Right-handed bat for a decent, you know, amount of money. Is it the Indians waiting, just like everybody else, for those top two, Machado and Harper, to sign, and that'll set the market for everybody else? Is that kind of what the Indians are waiting on? And could they be in the market for Pollock or no?
So I think you look at the candidates they have right now, and I know it's not pretty. You got Leonis Martin and Tyler Naquin and Greg Allen and Jordan Luplo. And are you positive someone like Avisail Garcia would be an upgrade over those guys? I don't think you can be. So from their perspective, it's like, okay, well, if they can get someone, and I don't know if they're going to make a hard charge at A.J. Pollock, but like, that would be a slam dunk where you know he's better than what you've got. You plug him in and play every day. That makes sense. I don't know how much sense it makes to commit money, if money is limited, to someone that you aren't positive is going to be an upgrade over what you already have in-house. So I think that's kind of where they're at. I do think because of that, they are waiting on Harper and Machado to kind of just get out of the way, then let these other guys figure out where they fit on the pay scale. And they'll go from there. But it's tough. And it's like, believe me, I think they need outfield help in the worst way. But I also don't know that it makes sense to say, hey, let's give $3-6 million to this guy if, you know, we might want to cut ties with him in May. You know, we've seen them do this in the past where they bring in these veterans in like March, if it's Juan Uribe or Marlon Byrd or there. I mean, Rajay Davis has been that example in the past. And sometimes it works out, a lot of times it doesn't, and it's just about finding someone who can then replace that veteran because they're just holding down the fort until May or June. You don't want to bring in Avisail Garcia for $4 million or whatever it was, and then he doesn't pan out, and you just kind of wasted a little bit of money, you have limited ammo, and you wasted time.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Meisel joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. I understand. It's calculated risks is what you're looking for. You're looking at guys who have, you know, come off of injury in some way, shape, or form where you can allocate the capital to them and know that you're going to get some kind of payoff and not end up in a situation where you're stuck holding the bag for someone who's an absolute mess. The problem that I'm having is, and maybe it's the entire MLB, is that this is moving at glacier pace. We are a month out of spring training and there's like 200 free agents, Zach. Is this going to end, or are we just stuck in this perpetual stalemate?
Think about the way the NBA operates, right? So you have, it's midnight on what, July 1st, and like Paul George and Russell Westbrook are throwing like a concert party the second midnight right. strikes and Paul George announces his new contract. And you've got all these marquee free agents are signing by noon the next day. And in MLB, you have Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, who are comparable to those NBA stars in terms of where they fit in the league. And free agency has been going on for 2 months, and they aren't signed. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it benefits nobody. I mean, it benefits the owners because maybe you compress the salaries a little bit. But in the long run and in the grand scheme, this benefits nobody. It hurts the players. It turns away fans. And it's just, it's a joke, to be honest. And it's, you, from the Indian standpoint, like, they need to build excitement for this season. They need to find a way to just turn fan sentiment around, because it's been just a brutal off season where it seems like it's bad news after bad news. It's one free agent signing somewhere else, another, and they haven't done anything to add to the roster. And it's like, you need that, and yet it's moving so slowly that if they do make an addition, it's going to be like February or March, and you've had people who are just so fed up that by that time they're forgetting about the Indians, they're forgetting about baseball. So it's not healthy for the league. It's probably going to lead to some ugly tension down the line that maybe it ends in a strike or something. But it's not helping teams. It's certainly not helping teams like the Indians, who aren't playing for those same free agents that the Yankees and the Astros and the Dodgers are. So it's ugly.
What about Jake Bowers? Could that be the wild card? And you've consistently said it here since we've had you on about not adding to the mix and making them better. Could he make them better? And obviously, you know, many of us here don't really know who he is. I've seen him enough to know that I think he's going to be good. But where does he fit? And maybe he's the left fielder or even Santana out there.
Yeah, he's going to have a chance. The issue is, and I don't want this to be like doom and gloom. I mean, they're still a really good team with maybe the best rotation in baseball and two of the top five or seven players in baseball. But
oh, no, Zach, keep it going. You're proving my point.
No,
come on.
No,
come on.
Let him talk.
But you don't want to roll. Like, Jake Bowers could be really good at some point. He was a top 50 prospect, according to Baseball America, before last season. He's got the tools to be a really good hitter who reaches base at a high clip, and he can play first base, he can play left field. But you don't want to bank on that. You're supposed to be contending for a World Series, and this guy's probably going to hit fifth for you, and you need major, major production out of him. And he hasn't done that before, and that's what you're banking on. So I think there's too much of that, the way the roster is structured right now, where it's like, there are guys in the bullpen who will compete for jobs who are actually pretty intriguing. I don't think most of the fan base has heard of John Edwards or A.J. Cole or some of those guys, but they're intriguing. There's upside, but you don't want to bank on that. You can't just hope and pray that all these things are going to work out for you to be able to compete with the Astros and the Red Sox and the Yankees, and yet that's kind of where we are right now. So I think Bowers is – the ceiling is very high. He's certainly intriguing. And he'll get an opportunity to probably hit in the middle of the order. But it's like, if he doesn't work out this season, or if he needs more fine-tuning in AAA, then what? You don't really have a backup plan.
On opening day, the five starters for the Cleveland Indians will be?
Yeah, I think it'll still be Kluber, Carrasco, Bauer, Clevinger, and Bieber. I would be all for still exploring a trade of one of those guys, Kluber or Bauer. it helps you fill your roster if you get the pieces you want. I know they're still taking calls. It's they're not going to settle on a trade. You can't deal Corey Kluber, who's won a couple Cy Young Awards, signed for 3 more years, and get back a package that is underwhelming. You have to, if you're going to make that trade, you have to nail it. And so they've held their standards pretty high. That's why nothing's gotten done to this point. But it's something I would explore. I just, at this point, it's late January now. It's, you're going to spring training in a few weeks. I think the odds of it are pretty slim.
Can they get Mike Moustakas? What's the story with him?
Sure. I mean, it's the one thing they've done is they've created the roster flexibility because Jake Bowers can play all over the place, because you've got outfielders who you don't really know who's going to be starting yet. They could add an outfielder. They could add an infielder. You could add a third baseman, move Ramirez to second, move Kipnis to the outfield or the bench. You could add a second baseman, keep Ramirez at third base. You could add a DH and play Bowers in left field most of the time. They have flexibility here where they don't have to solely look at one position. And yes, they need outfield help, but maybe you add an infielder and you make your infield even stronger, and your outfield is what it is. So maybe they make a trade with St. Louis for Jose Martinez. Maybe they sign Moustakas. Maybe they sign a second baseman. There are a few directions they can go here. They could add multiple pieces. I don't think anyone would disagree with that idea. So there are options. There's flexibility. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger.
Zach Meisel joining us from The Athletic. All right, Zach, how much fun was it writing the story all about the Cleveland Rocks and everything that took place involving that concert and all that stuff? How much fun did you have?
It was a lot of fun, especially because I didn't know that was not the intention. I actually went down to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where Omar Vizquel was managing back in July, I think. And my intention was I was just going to write about Omar. And then we started talking about how he still goes to local bars and plays the drums and gets on stage, stuff like that. And it led to us talking about the Tribe Jam concerts from 20 years ago. And next thing I know, I'm catching up with all the players involved in that. So it was a lot of fun. And then when I finally got hands on the video of the original concert in 1999, and I saw Dave Burba stick a maraca down his pants and twerk, I've never laughed that hard in my life. So it was a blast. And I think all those guys had fun reminiscing about it, because, you know, you don't see that kind of thing today. I've asked the Indians, especially with the All-Star game being here this year, you know, could you bring this back and put Tito on stage playing drums and have Francisco Lindor sing and stuff like that? I think it's a lot more difficult to pull off today, which is kind of unfortunate.
By the way, if Harold Baines can get into the Hall of Fame, then Omar Vizquel needs to be there. Sorry. I mean, that's enough's enough. Kenny Lofton,
yeah,
too.
I think Kenny Lofton's the one who got burned the worst and certainly deserves a spot based on who's getting in these days.
All right, brother, go take a nap. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry. Take the day off. Turn your phone off. Go to sleep. Take a weekend. Leave the country. Who cares? Nothing will happen anyway.
I'll probably just wake up in Arizona in a few weeks if it's all right with you guys. Oh,
yeah. Sounds awesome,
thank
brother.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you for joining us, man. It was a blast as always.
All right, you got it, guys.
Take it easy. That's Zach Meisel of The Athletic, as good as they come with covering the Tribe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.